This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Hello, everyone out there. My name's Edward Fraser. I'm your host today for the Hockey News Podcast. Today with us, we've got Ken Campbell. And Ken, I was looking at your Wikipedia page, and I understand you were the final leader of the Canadian Social Credit Party.
I was also a reverend, too.
An evangelical leader, actually.
Yeah, that's what I was. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, you know, Ed, I've always had a deep spiritual background
and connecting that to my
very strident and very, very strong political views. I thought that would be the best way that I could give my gifts to the rest of the world. And now I think my best way to get my gifts to the world is to write stories about hockey.
That's good. That's very disparate. But I understand that. And Ryan Kennedy, of course, our other member of our panel today. You were actually a member of several hardcore punk bands and used to tour around the country and host shows in your basement.
That is true.
That actually is true.
I
know it is.
Yeah. Maybe not across the country, but we got as far as like mid Ohio, and well, Chicago is probably the furthest. At Ottawa.
Give me your best story.
My best story? Yeah. Oh, man.
Quickly, because some people probably don't care about this.
Yeah.
did you ever play that food court in Angola?
No, we
you
did
ever
not.
Been there? They got a piano in the middle.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
We played,
I got a gig in Angola at the food court.
Yeah. We played in an old bowling alley in Chicago.
Nice.
The Fireside Bowl.
That's
it's a legitimate venue, though. Like, they have bands there all the
time. Is it a functioning
no
bowling alley? No, it's just a music venue.
It's a post-bowling alley. Yeah.
So to sum up, Ryan really used to be in punk bands. Ken never had any political affiliations.
Or no, I was never a reverend.
Wikipedia, full of lies. And speaking of the internet... How's that for a transition?
That's good.
We're in the dog days of summer. I think that's safe to say.
Yeah. I mean, we are so desperate that, like, Matt Larkin's not even here.
Johnny, that
we got you for the host, Ed.
That is desperation. Big time. Johnny Oduya. Huge news.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Who do you think's going to play with Erik Karlsson?
First legitimate signing in, what's the date today? There's a middle legitimate signing since, I think, the 3rd.
Maybe.
So, like, almost 3 weeks. Yeah. I mean, lots of RFAs.
There have been a couple of re-signings.
Yeah. McDavid was fairly significant.
Yeah. No, but I mean, you know, Nashville came to terms with Arvidsson over the weekend.
RFAs. Yeah, that's fine. But Johnny Oduya, third pair defenseman, big news.
He's the new Mark Mathot in Ottawa.
He is Mark Mathot. He played with Karlsson.
What he'll do is what Mark Mathot did, and that was, okay, if I can get this puck within 20 feet of Erik Karlsson, should be in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
So he'll just do that.
He could get 40 second assists this year. Anyways, in light of that, not even going to acknowledge that, in light of that, we're going all reader questions today.
Right on.
Do our work.
We want you to generate our ideas.
Yeah.
So we're going to start off with a Twitter question from a man. How do we delicately getting around this one? Zajac, blank,
sing
blank,
off.
Laugh, off.
Yeah, Zajac, sing off.
Zajac, sing off.
Zajac, sing off.
Yeah.
I think Vladimir Zajacinov.
I think it might be Russian.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Okay, he asks, have the Devils done enough this offseason to make themselves contenders?
No. Next question.
Are they popping the playoff bubble with Boyle and Johansson?
No, I don't think. I think they're on the right track.
Nico Hischier certainly helps.
Yes, he certainly does, and he will help to a certain extent next year. He's not going to be moving the needle real far next year, I don't think, for this team. Neither is Brian Boyle. Johansson might.
That's a great pickup.
Yep.
Yeah, and they're putting together. They got Mirko Mueller. They've got some pieces. But do I see them even seriously contending for a playoff spot? I don't. I think they got a ways to go, and I think they've got the right general manager in place. I think Ray Shiro's continues to do a very, very good job with that team. And
they realize that this is a rebuilding.
Of course it is. Yeah, it takes a couple of years to do it. Yeah. So I don't think that they're. I don't think you can sit there and say, well, the Devils are going nowhere and it's terrible and there's no hope here. But you also, I think it would be a little premature to say, yeah, this team is a team that's ready to make a run for anything really significant.
I think I might be willing to go as far as to say I would be gobsmacked if they were sniffing a playoff spot, or even around the trade deadline.
Yeah, I would probably be too.
I think they're going to be the most respectable last-placed team in their division, which is to say that, you know, like, the Metropolitan is a tough division.
It is.
For the Devils not to finish last, somebody would have to collapse. Like, the Islanders would have to just fall apart, or, like, something horribly wrong would have to go to Carolina or something of that ilk. But at least with the pieces that they brought in, Boyle's a great guy in the dressing room. He can help shepherd, you know, some of those young guys like Heischer, like Quenneville, you know, Zaka, guys like that. Johansson obviously gives them some nice sort of middle six depth. On that team, obviously top six depth. But the defense core is still very much, I'm going to call it a shambles right now.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
They don't have enough guys to be defensemen.
It's not good. It's not good.
But Corey Schneider will win you some games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is a team where, you know, like, they'll give you a solid effort every night. They're going to lose because of a lack of talent, not because of a lack of will.
Part of the problem, too, is that they play half their games against some of the best teams in the league.
Yes.
You know, the division they're in doesn't help.
It's a murderer's
row. If they were in the Atlantic division, they might have their prospects for prosperity might be a little more enhanced.
Yeah,
I don't disagree. Yeah. Does Corey Schneider win them too many games this year? I mean, this is a team that needs to be going for a lottery pick, not a playoff spot.
Well, the thing is, though, like, you can't tank like you could a couple of years ago anymore because it is a weighted lottery. I mean, it worked to their advantage this time because they won the number one pick
without tanking,
and they didn't even tank.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So I think all you can really hope for right now is to put yourself in a position where you get a high pick. But you're not depending on it. And I think that's kind of the crucial thing here. And, you know, the early sort of crop of 2018 draft prospects that we're looking at are pretty solid.
Pretty good. Better than this.
Better than 2017, for sure.
But not as good as
not as good as 16 or 15. But positionally, I think there's some nice assets all around. You know, Rasmus Dahlin is a defenseman. He could go number one overall. Andrei Svechnikov is a winger. He could go second. Joe Valeno is a center. He could go third. And then there's a whole bunch of kids. You got some power forwards. You got more mobile defensemen. There's even some pretty good goalies coming up. So I think, you know, teams can put themselves in the right position.
Really quickly, because I don't want to spend too much time on a last place team. Did they make the right choice taking Nico over Nolan?
I think so. I think Nico's got more offensive upside. And he's healthier. He's a lot healthier. Jesus.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
So, yeah, I liked it.
So was my grandmother. But anyway, no, I think it's interesting. One scout said to me, this is like Mike Modano and Trevor Linden.
Okay.
And Modano is Heischer, and Linden is Patrick. Patrick, you know what you're getting.
Right.
If he's healthy and he continues on his trajectory, he's going to be a really good, you know, second line center, guy that plays both ends of the ice, really good player. Heischer, I think the upside, there's a lot more upside with Heischer in that respect. So I think, and I'm thinking that both New Jersey and Philadelphia are thinking this, that they hope it turns out like the Modano,
right,
Linden thing, because they both got terrific players in that situation. So
next question from Twitter is @SensFan6. Who are the early favorites for the 2018 Calder Trophy? And keeping in mind,
SensFan6,
he wants Thomas Chabot.
Yeah, I think Chabot will be in the mix. Signing Oduya doesn't help, obviously, because they're going to have more depth there than they did before.
I was going to say, why is he playing with Chabot?
Yeah, some of the candidates I'm looking at, Clayton Keller in Arizona, I think he has the potential, not only because he's already had a couple of games of experience and he seems to be very far ahead of, you know, where we thought he would be even when he was drafted, but it's the opportunity. He'll get top 6 minutes. Yeah. He can put up a lot of points. Doesn't matter if Arizona wins or not. Nobody cares about that when it comes to the Calder. Charlie McAvoy in Boston, I think, is another one. The early return's been great on him. And again, you know, the Bruins, the decor there is aging. He can give them a really nice injection. And another kind of interesting one to consider is Alex DeBrincat in Chicago. Mm-hmm. If he can get a plum scoring role, then again, he could put up some really nice numbers, and that tends to be where Calder voters look.
Well, I found it very interesting, too, that Dominic Lucician, when he sent in notes for our predictions meeting because he wasn't available, and he said Chicago would finish, I believe, fifth in the Central.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
Or he said if DeBrincat makes the team, they finish first in the division. That's how highly he thinks of DeBrincat. Well, so I think that's huge, yeah.
Okay, this is going to be my favorite, like, hobby horse for the next couple of months.
Okay.
Yanni Gourde.
Oh, yes.
I read that in Pool Book.
I believe you're serious. I read that in Pool Book, and I want to hear why.
Well, because he qualifies, first of all, and he's an older player. He had, like, 20-something points in the American League playoffs this year. Was outstanding in the American League playoffs. And every time he's had an opportunity to come in and play a regular role, he's actually done a pretty good job, I think, and Cooper likes him. I think any time I've, you know, been in scrums or whatever, when he's been talking about that guy, you can tell he really likes him. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to give him the opportunity, and, you know, what the heck? I mean, the guy's 25. He's an older player. He's, you know, been. This isn't going to be his first rodeo, and hey, you know, I think that he could do it.
You're not in the wilderness there. I mean, because Tampa's going to be a lot better this year. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It can't be any worse. Mm-hmm. Yes. They're going to be a lot better this year. Anybody else you like?
The guys he talked about.
Okay.
That is a lot.
All right. Sticking with Twitter, we got Zach Ahears 21. Dear, where do you see the Avalanche finishing this season? I thought we were going to spend a lot of time on crappy teams. Where do you see the Avalanche finishing this season, and are Sakic and Bednar on the hot seat, Kenny?
Well, I think when we were doing our, I don't want to give anything away for our yearbook.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. But when we were doing our picks for our predictions for the yearbook, I think we were pretty unanimous in predicting that Colorado is going to be the worst team in the league this year.
Behind Vegas.
Yeah.
Sorry, ahead of Vegas.
Was it ahead of Vegas?
I wouldn't have said that.
We didn't do an overall ranking, but
okay, they're
certainly last in their division.
But they're in the mix.
That's a damning indictment when that's the argument.
Right, yes. Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Can you beat an expansion?
So that's where I see the Avalanche finishing this season, and if that's the case, obviously... Obviously, those guys are going to be on the hot seat.
Yeah.
I mean, it only stands to reason. And, I mean, Sakic is, well, he was a great player, wasn't he?
The feeling amongst the media in Colorado is that Joe Sakic should have been gone a while ago. Mm-hmm. And that ownership feels an obligation to him. And, I mean, Bednar, I think he deserves at least another year, maybe two, to actually put his imprint on this team and get things right. Though it was a shambles last year.
The only thing is like, I saw like a guy like George Kingston come in as a good coach on a bad team. And boy, it's hard to get the stink off of that. It really is, you know? I don't know. It's a bit of a fire drill there, isn't it?
Yeah. From what I've been told, Sakic actually has a pretty long leash in Colorado. You know, it's an ownership group that owns several other major teams. And, you know, when they look at Sakic, they see a living legend, an icon in Colorado. And, you know, the way he can pitch things, or at least the way he could pitch before the end of this season was, well, look, you know, we had some tough luck, a lot of injuries, but we have a plan. It's a long-term plan. You know, I'm putting this together, we need to see it through, that sort of thing. And I think for an ownership that wants to hear that because they like Sakic, that's kind of nice and amenable, where, you know, you look at how they drafted, you know, Cale Makar is the perfect player for them. They need defensemen so badly, and Makar is a mobile kid, lots of offensive upside. He's perfect for the new NHL. They're not going to get him right away, but that's okay. Bednar, I'm not sure. I think you have to give him at least another year before you say, like, okay, well, there's, you know, it's just not going to work here. But on the other hand, I think it's the actual lineup that really hurts the Avs. They're just so imbalanced.
They're just not good.
Defense is really bad, and I kind of worry that I thought in the expansion draft they might have got dinged worse than anybody else that didn't make a trade.
Well, that's my
in
question.
Losing Pickard.
That's my question, is if Sakic has a plan. I have no doubt he has a long leash.
Well, he's got
got a plan, why do you let a potential goalie of the future go in Pickard when he outperformed Varlamov already last year, and Varlamov is showing no signs of having any bounce back potential whatsoever? Why did you let Pickard go?
Yeah, I honestly don't know the answer to that question. I think, you know, it's time to poop or get off the pot with Duchesne as well.
Mm. Oh yeah.
You know, either he's your guy and you're keeping him and we're going to stick with him, or let's move along and get this thing on the rails. Mm. Goalies are, you know, I'm more convinced now than I've ever been, especially after this summer when Steve Mason and Brian Elliott and Mike Smith, all who had bad years, ended up going to other teams for more money. Like, I'm more convinced than ever that with like at least 60% of the goalies in the NHL, teams are just gassing. They're just guessing.
Holding.
They're crossing their fingers.
Goalies have become left-handed pitchers.
So, I mean, maybe Varlamov has a comeback season left.
But why? Why do you even want a comeback season out of him? You're not. You have no hope. If you get Ken Dryden in his heyday back in goal in Colorado, he's not taking them to the playoffs.
Right.
They don't have a defense.
Yeah. Right.
So why are you keeping him? I don't understand that. If you have a plan, that move baffles me as to what the plan is. Unless you hated Pickard for some reason, which I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I just have a hard time understanding what the plan is. And I guess the question maybe shouldn't be, are they on the hot seat? Because no, but the question is, should they be on the hot seat?
Right.
And they should. And the fact that none of us can figure out what the plan is indicates that...
a bit of a damning
indictment. There's something going... Something not quite right.
Moving over to Facebook, do you think... Jared Richard, sorry. Do you think... Or Richard... What do you think?
Jared Richard.
I'm going to go, since it's a Maple Leafs question, it's Jared Richard. Do you think JVR will stay in Toronto or go to a different team?
Well, what's
I guess you probably
didn't
need the second half of the question.
Right.
But anyways.
What's the time frame?
I'm going to think, let's say this season.
No, I think he's going to stay. First of all, he's a good player.
Yeah.
Secondly, he takes some of the heat off the younger guys. And thirdly, he's on a great cap hit.
Indeed.
That's an unbelievably good cap hit.
So, okay, I mean, the Leafs are putting themselves in a position to win this season. I guess, can you keep him beyond this year when you've got all these guys who are going to be coming off their entry-level deals and making big cash? And a guy like JVR is going to be able to hit the open market and make 6.5 on six or seven or eight?
Yeah, I'd say at least six. Yeah.
So, but you keep him through this year because you're trying to win now.
Yeah, exactly.
Because your rebuild's
and
done.
And if you are, you know, I mean, the Leafs could be, like, would anybody be gobsmacked, as you said, if they got to the conference final this year?
No, I could see it.
So, I mean, I think you just ride it out with JVR. You hope you can re-sign him at a hometown discount because you've got all these other guys. You probably can't. And he goes, and you don't get anything for him. And
that's hockey.
Bob's your uncle.
Yeah. The only way I see him going is if another team made the Leafs some sort of, you know, offer they could not refuse that involved like a top pairing defenseman,
young top pairing
defenseman. Well, I mean, not even if it's only. I mean, if JVR's a free agent after the summer,
exactly. You're not getting that.
Yeah.
You're not getting that for JVR. You're not going to get a top pairing defenseman
for a guy
who's a UFA next year.
Yeah.
Like, you're not getting that. You know?
Yeah.
You know, so.
I mean, if Nashville offered, let's say, Matthias Ekholm or someone of that
in
ilk,
a heartbeat.
Then you move him because he's a
so
great.
Scary, dirty. Oh my God.
He's good.
You know what? In the Stanley Cup final, behind the play, he was like all the time. Like, I'd want to punch him.
He's my favorite of the big four. Yeah. I'll be honest. I didn't know that much about him. You know, I'm not sitting down and devouring a Nashville game during the regular season. But watching him in the playoffs, he's fantastic. Terrific.
Good talker, too, boy. Yeah. Oh, yeah, good talker.
Yeah.
Good talker.
That's big nowadays.
It is.
All right, JVR is not going anywhere. Yeah. Dylan Wheaton from Facebook asks, do you agree with Gaudreau's comment regarding the Flames' three-year window? Do you view it to be shorter, longer, non-existent? What do they need to add to capitalize on said window?
I'm really intrigued by all of this, and I'll tell you why. I think Johnny Gaudreau, and not based on anything, but my gut tells me Johnny Gaudreau is greasing the skids to get out of Calgary already.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I think he's saying, look, I'm here for another couple of years, I'm moving on, because he was in Philadelphia for some charity thing, and he said something like it would be really cool to play for the Flyers someday. Because he's from around.
Really?
There. Yeah, he's from South New Jersey or whatever.
How did that not blow up?
Well, I don't know, but he said it would be sweet or something to play for the Flyers someday. I find it really interesting that the Philadelphia Flyers can't come out and say, we'd love to have Johnny Gaudreau on our team. We really like him, and we'd like to trade for him, because that's tampering. Wow. But a player can say, down the road, I think it would be pretty cool to play for this team. You know, I mean, it's essentially the same thing.
Well, yeah, but how are you going to punish a player? A team, you understand. I get your point.
But anyways.
They're going to take away Johnny's draft pick.
But anyways, with respect to the window, I think the window is longer than 3 years.
Yeah.
And I certainly think the Flames think it's longer than 3 years, with some of the young talent they have. And you know, guys like Spencer Fu and Jankowski and Shinkaruk and guys like that are on their way up. I think this window should be more than 3 years. But a lot of it depends on what happens in the next two, again, in the position we were talking about a little while ago.
Yeah.
Mike Smith. Can he rebound? Can he carry the load? Can he be the guy that is at least not great? Doesn't have to be great. Doesn't have to
be great. Not behind that defense, Corey.
Doesn't have to be great. Yeah.
Just can't be Brian Elliott.
Yeah, has to be good.
Can't be Chad Johnson.
Has to be good. That's all. Just has to be good.
Yeah, I think the window's long, and it's almost going to be like a two-stage window where it's open right now. But in, say, 3-4 years, if Mike Smith doesn't work out, you've got John Gillies, who's just coming into his own as a pro. A couple years down the road, he could be a number one goaltender. You know, Mark Giordano, he's one of your most crucial players right now, your number one defenseman. In 3-4 years, he's going to be a little long in the tooth, but by that time, you're pushing up Dougie Hamilton, Travis Hamonic, TJ Brody, also Juuso Välimäki, who they just drafted in the first round. Very solid two-way player. Maybe he's only your fourth or fifth defenseman, but when you've got all those other guys ahead of him, that's a luxury.
It's no shame to be a fourth or fifth defenseman on Calgary.
Exactly. So by that time, Matthew Tkachuk is probably one of the most prominent power forwards in the NHL. You know, Sean Monahan is probably one of the best two-way centers in the NHL. Gaudreau is still one of the, you know, elite scorers. You've got, I mean, I would call it sort of a 5-6-7 year window because of those different options that you have.
If I'm a Calgary Flames fan, I am very happy.
Because
I think you're exactly right. I'll say the same thing as you said about the Maple Leafs. Would you be at all surprised if the Flames, if they made the Stanley Cup final this year?
No, it wouldn't.
I don't think it would be surprising.
Well, it would be surprising, but it wouldn't be
minor surprise.
Wouldn't be shocking.
It would be one of those things where, in retrospect, you'd be like, "Oh well, okay, I get it."
We undervalued them. Yeah,
like if you looked at Nashville this year, it's like, well, you know, their defense is really mobile and really good, they're well coached. Well, okay, I guess it makes sense now.
Yeah.
But the Flames' future, very bright, very bright.
Yeah, they've built well.
Yeah, and I'll say this just so I can get some hate from Flames fans. I'm not sure I'd be that disappointed if Johnny Gaudreau goes.
That's not unfair.
I think defensemen have figured him out.
Well, I think you could make that argument.
Yep.
Definitely. Yeah. I think how Johnny Gaudreau does in the next couple of years is going to be dependent on whether or not Johnny Gaudreau can adapt.
Can he adapt? You're exactly right.
And he's a smart, skilled player, so he may very well be able to adapt.
100%.
But Johnny Gaudreau, as small as he is, has to start getting his nose a little dirtier. That's all there is to it.
He's got to come in off the periphery.
Yeah, and unless he starts doing that, then it's, you know, I mean, it's going to be what it is. So.
Back to Twitter. You have to choose McDavid, Matthews, or Crosby.
McDavid.
Really? Which one do you pick to begin a franchise? Are we going to pretend Crosby, like Crosby is back to being 19? Because otherwise...
Well, see, I don't think you... I think you have to assume they mean today.
Okay.
Yeah. In which case, so, I would also say McDavid, simply because, yeah, you're gonna get another decade of elite excellence. And obviously with Matthews, you're getting the same... but maybe a percentile or two lower. Whereas with Crosby, you know, even though he is one of the best players of all time, you're probably only getting another, like, 5 years of incredible world-beating hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is like, you know, would you rather date Elle McPherson, Kate Upton, or Jacqueline Smith? Charlie's Angels old days, teenage crush. Okay. Yeah, I mean, like, it's like, yeah, I'd take any one of those guys.
Sure,
yeah,
absolutely.
You know?
Look, let me ask it this way. If you needed a player for one game, it's game 7 of the Stanley Cup final, you can parachute in a player, one of these three. Which one do you want?
Crosby.
I'm going to say Austin Matthews.
That's good.
Ooh.
Because
he can dominate.
And I think he's going to be a really big-time game player.
Wow.
Well, like he showed in the Washington series.
In that Washington
he
series.
He is not scared of anybody.
And in game 6, he got them back. He pulled them up by the bootstraps, got them back in the game. Oh, yeah. Again, right? You look down your bench.
Wrong.
Oh, yeah. Big game.
Yeah.
Sidney Crosby. Go out there and be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Go out there and do what you've done for 10 years. Or, you know, Connor McDavid. Just go out there and carry the puck 100 miles an hour and go and score. Like, you know?
Yeah.
So I've already bunned off Southern Alberta fans by questioning Johnny Gaudreau. Let's do the same with Northern Alberta fans. Is it all concerning, I'm being diplomatic here, that was McDavid's play in the playoffs this year at all concerning to you?
No. Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit. He's going to figure it out.
Yeah? Okay. Because he was not outstanding.
Yeah, I guess you could say that, but... Yeah, I don't...
He was not a difference maker.
It's hard to say. It's hard to disagree with that.
Yeah.
It's hard to disagree with that, but I think...
It's blasphemous to say because he's unbelievable. He's the best player in the world.
He's a smart player. He's a really smart player, and he's dedicated. And to me, he seems like Crosby was early in his career. Sidney Crosby came in, couldn't score goals. So then what does he do? Now this year he won the Roger Richard Trophy. Came in, couldn't win faceoffs. 2 years later, he was like one of the best face-off guys in the league.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, reinvented himself in the 2015 or 2016 Stanley Cup playoffs and, you know, channeled his inner Steve Yzerman and became Steve Yzerman. I see McDavid doing a lot of those other things. I can see McDavid going, okay, I wasn't too good in the playoffs last year. That really pisses me off. And I'm going to just outwork everybody this summer and then I'm going to come back and be a beast.
I can see that. And I mean, it was a bit of a troll question. But, I mean, he's 19.
Yeah.
He'll figure it out. And, I mean, this was only his first full season in the NHL. If you think about it, with the injury he had in his rookie year, he's still revving up.
All right, let's go with the last question. This is an interesting one from David Strope via Facebook. Do you think they could start another WHA-type league for cities like Quebec, Hartford, Houston, Kansas City, and some other cities? I would hope we would get some other cities in there because a 4-team league would be
the original four.
Be for Adam House League hockey. Well, I think the key word in this sentence, in this question, is they. Who are they? If there are a bunch of people with more money than brains, maybe.
Sure.
But, no.
Tech bros.
No. No, I cannot see this happening ever. The reason why the WHA existed and survived for as long as it did was that they were paying, well, they were signing players to better contracts. They weren't always paying them. but this was a time when players were making $50,000-$60,000 a year, and you know, then Bernie Perron gets a 5-year deal for $750,000. You know, they were paying players a lot more. I mean, now you know, a 25-goal scorer makes $5 million. You know, there's no gripes about money in the NHL. The minimum wage is, what is it now? 700, 600 and something thousand?
Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's minimum wage in the NHL. It's not a factor anymore, and that's the only reason why these teams were able to have to get players. And I just don't think that, like, it seemed like, you know, at one time, Quebec and Hartford and Edmonton, that was their conduit into the NHL,
mm-hmm.
was being in the WHA. But I just don't see that. I don't see the landscape being anywhere near the same as what it was back then.
I would also think that if you're Quebec City and you desperately want to get back to the NHL, if you started up a team in a rebel league,
yeah.
Gary Bettman would say, I see.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden that Centre Vidéotron never sees an NHL game in the next 100 years. Also, I mean, there's just so much more pro hockey now.
What's
than
wrong
there
with
was
the AHL?
Thing.
What's wrong with being a member of the AHL?
Nothing
it's
wrong with
great
the AHL.
League. Great hockey.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it's not the NHL, but why try to start your own league if you really want a franchise?
Well, you're not. You're not. Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, I mean, that was what they did back when the league was only 16,
sure.
12,
yeah.
12, 12, 13 teams. Yeah. There were a lot of cities that are now in the NHL that were WHA cities, Winnipeg, Edmonton, you know, all these other ones, right? And there was access to the players because they said, we're going to, you know, we're going to spend the money here. And I mean, there's 31 teams now. Seattle will be 32, you know? I mean, you run out of places that can support an NHL team or a big league hockey team. You know, and I mean, if any of these places could actually support it, well, they would have never left Quebec. They would have never left Hartford. They would have never left Kansas City, and Houston would have a team.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it for the podcast today. Big thanks to Ken and Ryan. I am Edward Fraser.
Holidays. I'm not back until after Labor Day, so you won't have me to kick around anymore.
Kenny.
What?
You will be missed.
Well, thanks, Ed.
Shana na na.
I'm Edward Fraser. Thank you for listening.